Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you wonderful people this evening?
Wonderful.
As usual, I have good news for you. This power, this thing that we call God, does not show favorites. This thing that we call God sees each and every one of us exactly the same. Even though we are individualized expression of God, God does not show favorites. Please remember that in your life, because as we look out in the world and we judge by appearances, we see people that have more than we do, that are doing more than we, and we think, well, they're favored. They're not favored at all. They may be using this power differently, but they are not favored. What God has done for one person, God can do for every person. The reason why I decided to talk about that this evening is because last night, we had the Grammy Awards, and the Oscars are soon going to come up. And many people that are in the industry here and are actors sometimes think, oh, well, that other person is favored. That other person has something that I don't have. Now, that may be true, that the person has something that you don't have. And that thing that they have is faith in themselves. It takes faith in yourself to get where you want to go in life. But God does not show favorites. So when you see somebody that's successful, get around them. Find out what they're thinking and how they're thinking. And how they became successful. And then apply that to yourselves. But don't think that they have something that you can't have. Or that this thing called God only favors some people. I know in the world, people think that God favors one nationality over another nationality, one country. In this country, we always say, God bless this country. Well, isn't every country blessed? God loves the whole world. God loves everything in it. God just doesn't love the United States, for goodness sakes. We have to remember that there are no favorites going on out there. If there are, and the appearance is there, it's because it's man-made. It's not because it's coming from God at any time. So when you're around people that have more, find out why they have more, and then get them more for yourself. You're not going to take their good away from them. Your good is there for you, and you can have that. So remember that. Don't compare yourself to other people. Say, I'm delighted that they have that. And because they have it, I can have it. Now, Rhoda, would you tell the class the story that you told me about watching television and the two women that are very successful?
Yeah, it was. Two women who are running a very successful advertising agency, and it started with women in business think that they have to be very hard and very tough. These women are coming from love, and if they don't get a job, they congratulate the other people, saying there's plenty of business for everybody. Their employees are allowed to bring their problems to work, and it's a totally different thing than anything I've ever heard. And they're very successful. So it was really refreshing to hear it put that way.
So they're not into competition, you see, and they're not saying, well, one person can do it and then we can't do it.
There's enough for everybody, and they congratulate people who get other jobs.
Yes. Always congratulate people. And when you're congratulating people, hear yourself being congratulated. Hear yourself being congratulated when you congratulate somebody. Because it's going to go right back around again. Everything is going to come around. So don't hold off from those things and think that, oh, all these people get these awards and so forth. They're being favored. They're not being favored.
I used to manage kids in show business here, and I used to tell the kids that that, you know, they, instead of being intimidated, you know, they get to an audition and they go, that kid, always, the casting directors love that kid, and that kid works all the time. And I would say, well, you know, you should really hope that that kid gets a TV series or a long-standing movie, and then there's more room for you because, you know, the earth, you know, there's a lot of work out there, and instead of you feeling bad about this other kid or feeling like this other kid is your competition, just be their friend and, you know, try to learn from them what they're doing right. And the kids who listened always did really well, but the ones who got intimidated as soon as they walked into the audition, you know, into the casting, like, waiting area, they had already lost out.
Because it has to do with your attitude. If you think the other person is better than you and they're favored and they're this, that, and the other thing, it's going to be very hard. So give up any of those attitudes that you think you're not good enough or that you can't do it. But you can do it because God does not show favorites. So remember that. What God has done for other people, God can do for you. So when you're watching the different award shows and so forth, applaud those people and say, thank goodness that they got where they are, and that's where I want to be. And see yourself up there making your speech. I often tell people who come for privates, do you have your acceptance speech for the Oscars prepared? And they look at me like, what are you, nuts? Prepare your speech now. Know what you're going to say. You have to always be preparing your way and having everything ready. That's part of this whole thing of visualizing. This part of the whole thing is acting as if everything. You should have that. You should have your acceptance speech already and know exactly what you're going to say. And see yourself. You don't wait till those things happen, or they will probably won't happen. You get yourself ready and you see all that going on. And that's how you bring those things in, because you get focused on that, which is our topic tonight, is being focused on what we're doing. So always remember that God does not show favorites. Okay? Race mind alert tonight. Disney has a new thing out with Cinderella. And the caption reads, what if the shoe did not fit? That's complete race mind. You have to know that the shoe always fits. That the shoe always fits. And that's what race mind tries to do. That's what the world tries to do all the time. They try to take that away from you. They try to tell you that the other shoe is going to fall all the time. There's no other shoe to fall. Don't be looking for the other shoe to fall. But know that the shoe always fits. That means that you're always in your right place, doing the right thing, saying the right thing. It always fits. There has to be a fit out there. Now they're trying to take that away. They're also using the word if. What if? What if does not apply to anything. It's a waste of time to say, what if something happened? It didn't happen. Why are you even concerned about it? Why would you let your mind even worry about that and come up with a scenario about that? The other day I was getting in my refrigerator and I almost knocked the milk over onto the floor. And my mind, after I closed the door, I was doing something, my mind said, now what if that would have fallen on the floor, Dallas? You'd have all that to clean up and this. I said, stop it. It didn't happen. It didn't even happen. Why are we going through this what if routine? But your mind does that. You notice that yourself. Don't let your mind do that what if routine. That's ridiculous. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. It did not happen. But if you keep thinking what if, what if, what if, what if is going to come to you. Your turn now to tell your what if.
Oh. I took my car in for its like 15,000 mile checkups, whatever. And they called back and said, you need two new tires. and do you want us to put them on? I said, no, because I knew it was at the dealership, and I knew they'd charge me like double. I could get them. So I neglected to do it, and I worked down in Pomona. So every time I'd get on the freeway, my mind would kind of go, I should have these tires taken. What if something, you know, goes wrong? And when I would drive around the city here, I never thought of that. As soon as I hit the freeway, which I'm on the freeway about 3-4 times a week, and that's all I would try to get it out of my mind, but it would always be there. It would always be there. So 3 weeks ago, the what if came true, because coming home at 75 miles an hour, I had a blowout. And immediately when it happened, I said, you just manifested your big what if here into your life. This is what you wanted, and this is not wanted. This is what you were thinking about, putting all of that attention on the what if that this could happen, and it did. And it truly did. So immediately I thought, well, if I can do this, then, you know, I should be able to do that, you know.
Yes, and that's what ifs do to you. If you say them long enough, they prove themselves. That's what this whole teaching is about, to learn, to listen to what you're saying to yourself all the time, and then to notice what you've created with that it came home to roost, because we're always living in that law of attraction, and we're going to attract back to us what we're putting out there. We're going to put that right back again.
So can you what if something good?
Yes.
Okay.
You can do. Why don't we do something good and make something good come true? But what ifs are usually something bad. And then we go through this whole big story and this whole big scenario, and it never happened. Don't do that to yourself. It's a waste of your precious time. So learn. I mean, I'm still learning.
So you start thinking. That we don't realize we're thinking it. I remember in one of your early classes, and someone was thinking about getting rid of the traffic, and he ended up with more traffic than he ever had before because he didn't focus on clear.
Right.
His focus was on traffic.
Yes.
And that was what he got.
That's what he got.
Yeah, so I wanted to say, which more I thought about this, because this when this happened, I was on the fast lane, the left lane, on a Friday night on the 134, just approaching and coming up. And it blew out my driver's back tire. And this was at 6 o'clock, so the traffic was moving that speed, and we were like bumper to bumper. And when it happened, immediately I said, I need a passage. And do you know that 5 lanes of traffic instantly descended, and I was able to go completely over to the right side of the road?
Yes.
On that freeway?
Yes.
And I thought that was like, I got over to the right side and I said, I think I just had a miracle here. Yeah. I just went to the miracle.
It's interesting because when you were saying that, I was going to the supermarket and there's a guy came up to me and I have my license plate on my car, says, Love Your Life. And he came up to me and said, is this your car? I said, yes. He said, I want you to know that one day I was having a really bad day and I was going to the Lord. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And all of a sudden, everything opens up and I see your license plate. I love your life. Okay. And it was the funniest thing. And a few more people have told me. They don't know me, but they see the license plate. And I'm glad I have that license plate.
Yeah. Wonderful. This teaching works. If you work it, it will work for you. On Thursday night, I said to the class in Pasadena, this is the easiest teaching in the world to disprove, but you have to learn to prove it. The reason why I said that is because Andy said you used to say that all the time and you don't anymore. Well, I don't, because you people should know that by now, but this is too easy. It's too easy to disprove this. I could sit here and disprove it all day long, but that is not what I'm about. I'm here to prove that it absolutely works. And that's what you must do in your life. You must absolutely make this work for you. And when you have the tire incidents and when you have your license plate, know that it's working for you. and that we are being taken care of. We are being supported. And it works every time. And what a miracle. You could have been killed.
I immediately said, I will die if I have to get over it. I got to get out of this thing. I'm going to die. I got to get over it. Yeah. That's exactly what I said to myself. I'm going to die. I have to get over it.
Right.
And I made eye contact with the guy, and all of a sudden, they just stopped. They kind of, you know, let me over.
Okay. Which proves what? See, I know exactly what it proves, so I'll tell you. We live, move, and have our being in the mind of God.
Say that again.
We live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. So when he needed over, he looked at the one man, and everybody else right down the line went that way, because there's only one mind. The one mind said, move it, and everyone moved.
And when you do it with emotion, you really get
when you do it with emotion, which is what Emmett Fox always says, warmth of feeling, which is emotion. And you must put warmth of feeling into it, and it works, because it takes that feeling to do it. The life of the organism is feelings, not thoughts, people. You have to know your feelings, and you have to make your feelings and your thought one and the same. They must be in accord with each other. Because when the head and the heart relate, you have an instant demonstration. But the struggle is always getting the two to go together. And once they go together, a demonstration is right there in front of you. So remember that when you're doing your work.
Can you make a thought like he had work faster than he can make it? Like, can it go even faster?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thoughts are that fast that you know, they're faster. We think the speed of light is the fastest thing. But thoughts are faster than the speed of light.
And everybody tells me.
Thoughts go that quickly. And you can learn to speed up everything, yes. We're just slow here on this plane of action. That's part of it, because it's heavy. This plane of action is heavy, so it slows things down. That's all there is to that. All right, are we still doing our affirmations and our treatment work? Okay. How about wonderful, wonderful me? All right, let's stand up. Are we ready?
Yeah.
I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. It's very important to know that you matter, and to know that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. But not to know it here in the intellect, here in the thinking, but throughout your entire being, so that it settles down into it. That's why we do the little dance, because it helps put it throughout your entire body. It also wakens everything up in there and tells it, okay, this person's serious. This person really wants to matter, really wants to know that. And then you start to really matter. It's a very important thing. You can come to this teaching. You can listen to me talk all the time. But this teaching is experience. It's an experiential thing. You must experience these things for yourself so that you absolutely know them. You see, I can talk about this power that we call God all the time. But till you experience it for yourself, you won't know what I'm talking about. It makes you feel good to hear me talk. But know that you can feel it too. If I can feel it, God doesn't show favorites, then you can feel it also. And how do you feel that? You make up your mind to feel it. You make a decision. You say, okay, I'm going to feel this. So you may have to grunt and carry on a while, but you'll start to feel it. But that is the decision that you have to make. That is what you do with this thing. You do that. You make that decision. And then you approach it any way that you wish to approach it. But it absolutely works. So learn to use it. And I think everyone in here is learning to use that. When I look around and I see all the wonderful demonstrations that people have had, the jobs, the money, all the things that people have accomplished here, it's wonderful. How about just changes in attitude and so forth? How about, oh my, I think maybe I like myself now. Or I think I can enjoy my life. I think life is to be enjoyed. Now, isn't that wonderful to be able to do that? And just, instead of thinking you just plod along and one day you'll die? You know? That's no fun, is it? No. We can take that, you know, that death sentence off the table. There is no such thing. You may make a transition, but there's no such thing as death. That's the world telling you that. And that's the ego mind telling you, because the ego mind is absolutely afraid of death, because then where would it go? What would it do? It couldn't dang anymore, could it? So it's, that's, but there's no such thing as death. So if you're still thinking about that or thinking, oh my, one of these days I'm going to die, stop thinking about that. That's an absolutely ridiculous thing. In fact, look forward to it and say, my goodness, I can't wait till I make my transition. And I can just keep right on going. You just keep right on going. You know. Now the young people, you know, you have tons of time. But prepare yourself for that. And the other little thing I always love is this one. Learn to live each day like it is your last. And one day you'll be right. Yeah. So learn to do that. Learn to do that. Okay, let's start with a spiritual mind treatment. And this is what I know. I am absolutely a rich person. I am rich in consciousness. I have rich thoughts. I am rich every which way. I can see abundance and prosperity everywhere. I know I live in an abundant universe, a prosperous universe, and I am one with that. And I see money constantly, freely circulating in my life. And I know there's always a divine surplus. And I open myself to every channel of the universe, knowing that I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. And that I can have all the money that I want. And it's wonderful. And I let that be so. And so it is. And that's the absolute truth. You can have all the money that you want. You have to make up your mind how much you want. And then keep that figure. Last week's talk was on attention, putting your attention somewhere. You put your attention on the tire. You put your attention here, there. And things happen. Tonight's topic is focus, which sounds very similar to attention. But you put your attention on something, and then you focus in on that. Focusing is fine-tuning something. And we want to fine-tune what we have our attention on so that we can bring that into our reality. So we focus on what we want. We put it out there. We know exactly what we want. We know how we're going to feel when we get that. And we keep focusing on that and not letting our mind take us off that by sidetracking us, by making us forget. Like the young person who said to me, I didn't get anything I wanted last year. I said, well, how do you know that? Well, I pulled out the paper. I wrote it down last year and I put it in a desk drawer. And this year I pulled out the paper and nothing was done. Well, you can't write this stuff down, then put it in a drawer and wait a year and then pull it out and say, well, that didn't work. You know, you have to focus on that. Write down. And then don't write 100,000 things that you want. Start with one or two things that you want. If you're not getting anything right now, focus on only one thing and make it work for you. And then just keep focusing on that every day and see it come into your life all the time. Once you start to put your attention on something, you'll see it coming to you all the time. How many people here have decided in their life that they want, say, we'll use a Buick car, Did I still make Buick?
I don't know either.
You want a Buick car. And as soon as you start to think about a Buick car, don't you just keep seeing Buicks everywhere? Every time you see them everywhere then. You never saw them before and you think, well, where'd all these Buicks come from? Where'd all these Buicks come from? As soon as you put your focus on something, it starts to appear in your life. It absolutely starts to appear in your life. So you give your attention and then you fine tune that into a focus. And lo and behold, these things appear. It's fantastic the way it works. But it's done with your thought and it's done with focusing that and keeping your focus there. Not letting your mind or somebody else's mind talk you out of it. And that's what happens. You see, if you're doing treatment work for yourself or even your affirmation, you have to listen to your mind and you have to keep doing it till your mind can no longer negate it. You see, you have to get every negation out of your mind. What do I mean by that? Okay, I want $1 million. Oh no, that takes too long. You can't have $1 million. Oh, this is that, 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 that. And this litany of reasons why you can't comes up. That's negation. It's just negated what you wanted. So you have to get rid of each and every one of those. Many people write these things down on a piece of paper. I want $1 million. Listen to the mind. You can't have it because your family never had. You can't have it because of this. You can't have it because of that. You write down all the things that your mind is telling you. Then you look at that list and you say, oh, yes, but I can have this. And you write on the other side why you can have it. And you get rid of those negations that way. Because remember, Mary Baker Eddy, you must always argue with your mind like a lawyer before the court, and you must always make sure that you win. You must always win your case. Always. Because the mind will negate that. And as soon as the negation comes in, you have to strengthen your focus, and you have to make that negation go, and you have to keep focusing on that and focusing on that. Remember we used to do Winston Churchill, who said, never, 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 never give up. Never give up on yourself. Never give up on what you want. Just keep on trucking. It has to come. It has to come. That's the whole idea in the Bible with the story of the person that came at nighttime for bread and knocked on the door and no one would answer the door. The person kept knocking and knocking till a light went on upstairs. When the light went on upstairs, the man yelled down something. The man kept knocking. Finally, the man upstairs came down and opened the door. The man said, I want bread, and he got bread for no other reason to get rid of him. But he got what he wanted because he was persistent, because he kept his focus on what he wanted. He wanted bread, and he didn't care if all the village woke up while he was pounding on the man's door. And that's what you must do in your own life. Don't be afraid to knock on the door. And knock on it loud enough and long enough till somebody answers the door. In life, you're going to get, we could call them rejections. You can knock on the door and knock on the door and knock and knock and knock. And maybe it won't. So that door. But you have to keep knocking and knocking till you make somebody come to that door. You have to do that. But we give up too easily. We give up too easily. Why do we do that? I don't know. But persistence. And anybody that you see who has been a success, who thinks they're a success, and you can say, well, they're a success because they have tons of money or whatever they have. How did they get that? By knocking, by being persistent, and keep going after it, and never giving up and letting anything deter them from what they were doing. And they've all had setbacks, and we've all had setbacks. But we don't throw in the sponge. We keep going. And you have to build your faith in yourself, in what you want, and of course, faith in the power that we call God. We just keep building that faith all the time. But you can have these things with persistence and with attention and with focus. Learn to focus on things. If you're on the freeway and they have an accident and the traffic is not moving, it's not moving in, like, say, the three lanes because everyone's rubbernecking. Everyone's focusing on the accident. When I know that, I don't know if it's an accident or what, and I see the traffic, I never focus on that. I go to the other lane and go right straight through. I never focus on the accident. I never focus on what I don't want. What I was focusing on was a clear path and where I wanted to go. I never look at that. If a siren goes off, I never turn my head to look for that. I never follow anything, fires or anything like that. I don't put my focus on any of those things. And some people will run to the window to look out and see what's going on. I never run to a window. I never give it any attention or any focus whatsoever. I stay absolutely stationary. The noise finally goes away. And I never say, what is it? I don't call the neighbors to see what's going on. No, that is not where my focus is. Don't put your focus in those things. The reason why I bring that up is the siren's very loud, isn't it? And it wants to grab your attention. And it wants to take you there. It wants you to jump on the fire truck and go with it. You see? The world is noisy. Your mind is noisy. And other people are certainly noisy. And they're trying to make enough noise so that your focus goes to them. So that you lose your focus and focus somewhere else. Don't do that. Know you're where you're going. See where you're going. Focus on where you're going. And you'll go there. But we allow people to pull us off our path. They make enough noise. They're loud enough. A siren goes off. All this happens. And we get off kilter. We go in the wrong direction. Focus and attention straight ahead. If you have that, that is where you're going to go. You can go through a whole crowd of people, you know, and they will disperse if you set your mind to where you want to go. It's like your car. Try that in a crowded room, and you'll see that people will just, you don't have to say a word. You keep your focus where you want to go. Done with energy. It's done with energy. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say move. They move. All things are done with energy, and it's keeping your energy focused enough. This focus is like a laser beam. You have to fine tune it to its. It goes right there, and that's where you're going to go. And you're not going to allow anything to knock you off that path. It doesn't matter how loud it is, how loud the siren is, you're not going to turn. You're not going to give anything else your attention. You're going to go right down where you want to go. The mind loves to take you off. And it makes you busy with other projects. How many people have wanted to do something, but you get doing busy work instead? Your mind puts you to work doing busy work. Now you're completely off track.
Yes.
Busy work gets you nowhere. It's like the what if thing. It's a waste of time, busy work. The mind's immediately keeps you busy. You say, oh, I'm so busy, I don't have time for it. Oh, well, I'd love to make that money, but I can't. Oh, I'm so busy over here, I can't do that now. I have to make it. Your mind just, no, this is where you want to be. You have to keep your focus where you want to be. And you have to say to your mind, stop that. That's nothing but busy work. And figure out what is busy work and what isn't. A lot of people don't know that they're just doing busy work. A lot of people say, I've been busy all day. Well, what'd you do? They were just busy. They don't know. They've been busy all day and they don't know what they did.
I was thinking of busy work. I even called her and I said, I'm stalling because I don't want to do this thing. My kitchen's clean. My bills are paid. I straightened up this because I don't want to do that thing. We were discussing about how sometimes this avoidance deal we were doing was actually productive. I got some other things done that I hadn't wanted to do for a long time. So
hierarchy of avoidance.
Yeah. But it's key.
I don't know if that was busy work or not, but
right.
I got some other things done avoiding.
Clean kitchen, your bills are paid.
Yeah.
And it makes you maybe feel good, but it gets you where you want to go.
Well, I got the other thing done that I didn't want to do also.
Oh, all right.
Something that was bothering me for a few weeks that needed to be cleaned or wiped off or something like that.
Done. Good.
I didn't want to do the other.
But you all know about busy work. And it's a little trap the mind wants you to fall into. So that you think that you're productive and that you've done something. And you haven't done what you wanted to put your mind to, where you wanted to go. And your week goes by and it doesn't get done. So keep your focus where you want to go. And don't allow busy work or noise or anything else. Stay on that path. Stay on that path. And then watch what your mind will do to keep you from going down that path. How many obstacles will it throw up? Not only the busy work, an illness will come in, a relationship will happen, this will happen, that will happen. You have to keep your focus and go in that direction. It has to do with focus. Where thought goes, energy flows. See, we control our energy with our thinking. And where we think, that's where energy goes. And what we think about, that's where the energy goes. So we focus that energy like a laser beam, and we stay on that. It's all done with energy. And your thought is generating that energy. And now you must take that and focus it. Most people's energy is all over the board. All over the board. You have to bring it in. You have to bring it in. You have to bring it in till it's focused. And you go right there with it.
What you're saying is really important, and I learned...
Thank you. I like to say important things.
I found it helpful, you know, to figure out what takes up and wastes the most of my time. And it kind of upsets people when I don't answer my email because people think it's like the phone now. You know, didn't you get my email 2 hours ago? But I find that email takes up an inordinate amount of my time. And when I'm, like, I just finished writing a new book, and when I was working on the book, you know, people who didn't know me were saying, well, I emailed you, you know, 3 weeks ago, and you didn't get back with me. And I just explained to them I have to focus when I'm writing a book or when I have something really important. I can't deal with email, and if it's an emergency, you have to call me, and then I'm still going to filter, you know, my phone call, because I found that the phone and the email will waste so much of my time.
Yes. Wonderful thing, and that's a little thing that people do. How many people are on the cell phone morning, noon, and night? That eats up tons of time. And money. Eats up tons of time. And you think, well, I've been busy all day. I talked to 10 people about nonsense. And I agree with the internet. I don't answer my emails either unless they're absolutely important. In fact, some of them I never read. I just hit the delete button because too many. You know, one day I had 149. I thought, that's impossible. I didn't even bother. I just hit the...
And people take it personal sometimes.
Well, they can't take it personal because you know why? It's your time.
That's right.
It's your time. Don't give your time to people. You see? Don't let them eat your time up.
I was just thinking about that. I'm in a very busy type of business, and my priorities always come first. When I get up in the morning, I decide what project I need to work on immediately. The one thing I don't do is touch the computer. I have an assistant, and my assistant, and everybody tells me how much money I'm wasting on an assistant. But as I've learned with email, is that I'm in sales, and when you email something, it doesn't have the same connotation as when you talk to someone on the phone or in person, and you say to them, you say something, you get the point across, and you can also hear where they're coming from as well, so you know what to say.
Well, I am, with the email and so forth, I have a friend, Peter, who lives in North Carolina. He can send me 4 or 5 emails a day, which are lengthy emails because he's political and they're all the political things, and he thinks I'm going to sit there and read all that, you know, page after page of people I don't even know about. And I say to myself when I'm looking at this stuff, does he ever do anything all day? What does he do all day? He must be on this computer all day long. So you have to see those things. Where are you putting your energy? Now, I'm not putting any of that stuff down, but you have to know what your priority is. You have to know where you want to go. Then you take your thinking and your energy and you focus it where you want to go. When you do that and you stay there, you get the project done. You get the things done. Because when you're focusing on something, now other things that pertain to that will come into your life just automatically, like seeing all the Buicks. Then things will start to dovetail with each other. But if you're here, there, and everywhere, there's no dovetailing going on. And you know that in your own life. Haven't you decided to look up something or you wanted something and didn't the phone ring and it was a friend who said, oh, I just found this. I thought you'd be interested. Oh, I was just thinking about it. I mean, everything works together here, but we have to be focused on where we want to go. Is your book published?
Oh, it's my 5th book.
Is it?
It's not with the publisher yet. I'm still finishing it, the editing of it, but I have like several publishers.
And other books you've already published?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I want you to talk to that young lady when after class. Please. So anyway, keep your focus where you want to go. And don't allow anything to get you off that path. Any loud noises, any catastrophes that are going on, any family problems that are going on. You cannot. Your focus is there. Is there. Get yourself ready then for the success and enjoy that journey, that process of getting there. You see, the whole idea is to enjoy life. And life is a process. And everything that you're doing is a process. Getting a job is a process. Acting is a process. And you have to enjoy the process. Some people only want the end result. They only want the destination, and then they're going to be happy. Well, you miss all your life if you don't enjoy the process that you're going through. You have to enjoy the process, and you have to know that it's a process. But you can bring these things into your life, and you can, whatever you're thinking about, the goals that you want to accomplish in your life, can be done. But it takes focus. And it's focusing your energy. It's focusing your energy. Where thought goes, energy flows. Don't go in that direction. So on the highway, don't look at the accident. Never look at an accident. Why? Because you're going to focus on that and you're going to draw it into your life. I never watch an accident. I never turn my head for any siren that's going on to see what is occurring. I don't want that in my life. Remember those things, okay? All right, I have some cards. Let me see. I have many cards here tonight. Let's see. We feel that the spiritual or real man is perfect, and we seek to uncover this perfection which is within every man's life. That's Ernest Holmes from Science of Mind. And the whole premise of this teaching is perfect God, perfect man. And when we don't see imperfection, we must keep looking and uncover the perfection in that. Because the perfection is always there. Is always there. My thoughts, words, and actions are guided by the illuminating power of God within. So try to remember that. If we're living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God, then realize that your thoughts, words, and actions are guided by the illuminating power of God within. And then you can use your mind so much better. So much better. Ah, here's the one. We should be able to look at a wrong condition with the knowledge that we can change it. The realization that we have this ability must be gained by the application of our knowledge. You have the knowledge now. So you can look at any situation. And you can change that situation. You can do that. Robert Bitzer, who I talk about, was the minister of the Hollywood Church of Religious Science. And he lived 99 or 100 or something. Anyway, he said, I do not make the best of things. I make things the best. And you see, the world tells you to make the best of things. It always tells you that. Don't rock the boat. Make the best of things. But don't make the best of things. Make things the best. Make everything the best. And you can do that. What's the one thing that you really want to make the best?
Yourself.
She got it.
Because when you were talking, I was just thinking, we can't change anything. By changing the other person.
You can't change the other person.
That's what I'm saying.
But you can change yourself, and you can make yourself the very best. And that's what you have to know about yourselves. And you have to realize that when you're doing wonderful, wonderful me, and I love myself, and I'm worthy and deserving, and I matter, that you're changing yourself. And that you're building yourself. You see, we're here on this plane of action to grow ourselves. We're growing all the time. And that's what we want to do. So you must forgive yourself if you one day you don't do it. You just say, oh, well, I didn't do that today. But I'm back on track again. And you just keep bringing yourself back to that realization that you can change yourself. But always forgive yourself. You must stay in total love with yourself all the time, even when you do absolutely ridiculous things. And I do ridiculous things all the time. I made a big boo-boo the other week, but I cleaned it up, sort of.
Sounds, I love when you make a mistake. Because then I know that when I do, it's okay.
Okay, yes. It's absolutely okay to make a mistake. The problem is when people make a mistake and they don't know it. That's the problem. I knew I made the mistake, and I knew it was going. And I did sort of beat myself for a moment, and then I said, now, wait a minute, Dallas. It was a mistake. And you're still lovable. So, I just reverted and loved myself. And that's what everyone can do. You have to love yourself. You can't enjoy life if you don't love yourself. That's an impossibility. So you want to enjoy life. The key to enjoying life is to learn to love yourself. And we, each and every one of us, can do that. We are capable of doing that. But you have to do it yourself. It's an inside job. And you have to work on your own self. And the best way to do it is to start always with sit down and forgive yourself. And you can say, well, that didn't work. I was a little stupid on that one. But I'm going to love myself anyway. And you love yourself back to center. And you love yourself out of the situation that you were in. You just love yourself out of it. And you have to do that because no one else is going to say it. Most people are going to say, well, you made a mistake. Ha, 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 ha. You know.
Something happened with my husband a while ago. He said to me, you should be ashamed of yourself. One of his favorite expressions. And I said, I am not ashamed of myself whatsoever. I may have used poor judgment, but I am not ashamed of myself. I am lovable, worthy, and deserving.
Isn't that wonderful to be able to? Yes. And that's what you have to be able to do.
And that would have been scary a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I would have bought into it.
Yes. And that's what the world wants you to buy into, that you're not lovable and that you're not top-notch. And you must realize that you are. You are an individualized expression of God. You have every quality of God within you. And you can bring those qualities out. You just have to say to yourself, I have these qualities. Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. So assume that you have those. Work on those. And you will have them. We're always making ourselves. We made ourselves this far. We did it. You know. So we can do more, and we can become more. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.